those boys who filled up their pants with nuts. One of them was the grandfather of a scientist, a botanist, named Robin Wall Kimmerer. And Kimmerer is also an active member of the American Indian Potawatomi Nation, part of the larger group of indigenous people called the Anishinaabe. And Kimmerer is a successful scientist. She's very good at breaking down the world into different parts, reducing things to their simplest components, looking at the world as if it were a kind of machine, seeing the world as objects. But Kimmerer grew up in a family that inherited different ways of engaging and seeing the world than what we can call the kind of Western scientific way. She grew up looking at plants as teachers, as companions to whom she was linked to in a relationship of mutual responsibility. She grew up looking at the world of plants and animals as a place that bestowed upon her great gifts. And therefore, she had a great responsibility to take care of them, of the earth, like the earth was taking care of her. As Kimmerer puts it, quote, in the Western tradition, there is a recognized hierarchy of beings with, of course, the human being on top, the pinnacle of evolution, the darling of creation, and the plants at the bottom. But in native ways of knowing, human people are often referred to as the younger brothers and sisters of creation. We say that humans have the least experience with how to live, and thus the most to learn. And we must look to our teachers among the other species for guidance. Their wisdom is apparent in the way they live. They teach us by example. They've been on the earth far longer than we have been and have had time to figure things out. I think most of us are painfully aware that we humans have at least a few things to figure out, in particularly terms of how we live on this planet. Kimmerer was so deeply saddened one year when she was teaching a class and she gave a survey to her students in a general ecology class. And among other things, students were asked to rate their understanding of the negative interactions between humans and the environment. Nearly every one of the 200 students said confidently that humans and nature are a bad mix. And these students were third-year students. Most of them had selected careers in environmental protection. They were well-schooled in the mechanics of climate change, toxins in the land and water, and the crisis of habitat loss. Later in the survey, they were asked to rate their knowledge of positive interactions between people and the land. And the median response was none. Kimmerer was stunned. How was it possible that in 20 years of education, these students could not think of any beneficial relationship between people and the environment? All of the negative examples they see every day had cut off their ability to see some good between humans and the earth. These students could not even imagine what beneficial relations could exist between their species and others. Kimmerer asks us, how can we begin to move toward ecological and cultural sustainability if we cannot even imagine what the path could feel like? Kimmerer's grandfather, who collected those nuts, was living out on the land we now call Oklahoma. His people had been forcibly and brutally relocated to that land. where he was collecting those nuts. And this bountiful valley of ours, whose fertile ground feeds not an insignificant proportion of this planet's people, became home to many folks from Oklahoma during the great 1930s. Of course, some years after the indigenous Yokut people here had been removed, missionized, or killed off by illness. Some of you are here in this valley today because your ancestors made a trek from Oklahoma and surrounding areas. So I wonder how many degrees of separations we actually are from Kimmerer's grandfather collecting those nuts. I wonder how far we have to travel in our hearts, minds, and spirits to find our way to understanding the earth as a gift, to shift away from viewing everything as a commodity to be bought and sold in a market, to viewing the world as sacred and a gift. The boys that day may have come, they went home fishless, but they brought back nearly as much protein as if they had had a stringer of catfish. Because nuts are like, quote, the pan fish of the forest, full of protein and especially fat. They're called a poor person's meat, apparently. Today, you know, we eat them daintily shelled and roasted. But in the old times, they'd boil nuts up in porridge, and the fat floated to the top like chicken soup, and they'd skim it and store it as nut butter. And it was good winter food, high in calories and vitamins, everything you needed to sustain life. After all, that's the whole point of nuts, to provide the embryo with all that is needed to start new life. In a few moments, you're going to be invited into a period of contemplation and meditation. And this is a time to spend thinking of the wisdom of the almond blossoms. If your body and allergies are comfortable doing so, you may actually go out into our neighboring orchard and walk through the blossoms. You may also choose to sit right behind the sanctuary on some chairs and look at the trees, or you may stay here and Jude will be sharing some more music with us. Your task is to take in the stunning beauty that surrounds us at this time of year, whether you are close or far away, and to think about how you as a human are the youngest species in this orchard. For those of you who are going to walk out in the orchard, I want a couple volunteers to set your timers. I have a bell, but you're not going to hear it. So could I have like three volunteers who will set a timer on their cell phones and then help gather? Great. Robbie, Jerry, can I have a third person who's going to go walking? Great. Thank you. So just set your cell phones for 10 minutes when I tell you to do so and make your way back and help collect, wave people in when you hear that timer. So again, your task is to take in whatever way you can the beauty of the blossoms and to think about how you as a human are the youngest species among those trees and to consider what lessons may the almond trees be trying to teach us. Uh-huh.
I would just like to remind people that they shouldn't be touching the blossoms.
Yes. Thank you. There were not when I was out there earlier, but there could be. But yes, please do not pluck anything from trees or to touch the trees because that will damage the blossom and the nut that's trying to become into being, but to walk among them. Thank you, Elaine. Okay, those of you who are with your timers, if you could begin your timer now. And for those of you who are going out to walk in the orchard, please go. If you are staying here, Jude will be playing some music, and I'll be moving some chairs if you want to sit in the courtyard.